Last Lord's Day, we began a vitally important study concerning the blood-bought church of the Bible. And we noted that the church is not the building where we gather together, but the church is the called out, those that have obeyed the gospel of Christ and have been added to the Lord's body by the Lord Himself, Acts 2:47. And of course, the blood-bought church of the Bible is not a denomination. They did not exist in the first century, but began hundreds of years later in protest of the Catholic Church. So we want to be sure that we stay with the church of our Lord's choice and not man's. But we want to continue our study this morning, getting into prophecy of the blood-bought church of the Bible. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we remember that by the initials PFE, and we want to remember that every day, because that's what all of us should be doing if we're accountable unto God, preparing for eternity. Now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we study God's precious word in our Bible classes, and then as we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so in accordance to the New Testament pattern, but also having a proper attitude. That would be worshiping in spirit and in truth, as we see in John 4:24. Something else we want to mention. We look forward to having Bible studies. Yes, if you're interested in doing that, please let us know and we'll set it up at your convenience. If you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, they're welcome as well, and you can send those again. The address is 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code, and our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. One other thing, our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Let's get into our study this morning, as we're going to be discussing the Bible-bought Church of the Bible in prophecy. Yes, and we're going to start with Isaiah chapter 2, and notice with me verses 1 through 4. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, as we started out here, and it shall come to pass in the last days. And of course, let me mention, Isaiah is often referred to as the messianic prophet. Of course, many prophecies are of Christ. In fact, this is talking about the church of Christ that Jesus would establish. So notice when this is going to take place. And it shall come to pass in the last days. So this is prophecy concerning the church of Christ, the blood-bought church of the Bible. Well, the last days are referring to the last dispensation. This would be the Christian age, as the patriarchal age was the first one. And then following that was the Mosaic age. As Moses gave the law of God to the people, he had a covenant with Israel. But the patriarchal age, of course, that law continued for the Gentiles. Now coming up to the cross. So those ages are no longer. The law, that is of course, void. It was nailed to the cross. Now, Colossians 2:14. Now notice, the last days, of course, would be referring to the Christian age. As you see in Acts 2:16 and 17, notice what Peter said on the day the church began, there in Jerusalem, the day of Pentecost. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days. And saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So, you see an importance of chapter 2's here. Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32. Now we're looking at Acts chapter 2. Of course, the day the church began. Hopefully we'll get time to study Daniel chapter 2 as well. And so that's interesting to note. Chapter 2 is very important. But notice now Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, in whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Notice, did you notice, hath in these last days? That's, of course, when Christ came, the Christian age. Now, let's go on. As we see, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. And so, of course, the Lord's house is the church. As we go to 1 Timothy 3:15, we can see that. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Of course, the church of Christ is the pillar and ground of the truth. Let us never forget that. Ephesians 2:20 through 22 also, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fittedly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Yes, the holy temple is in the Lord. And we want to be, of course, a part of that holy temple, the Church of Christ, by obeying the gospel of Christ and being added to the body of Christ by the Lord himself, the blood-bought church of the Bible. Yes. Now let's go on. And shall be exalted above the hills. Now the Lord's church is above all other institutions. So here is the exalted nature of the church of Christ. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body. How many bodies? The body, the church, the body and the church, same institution, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, exalted position of the church of Christ. And you could study also Ephesians 1, 20 through 23 in that regard. But let's go on. And all nations shall flow unto it. Well, this goes back to the promise that God gave Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Of course, God made Abraham's name great. A great nation would come forth from Abraham's descendants, and those that did evil towards Abraham would pay the consequences and so forth. But the last promise God gave in that section of Scripture, and through the seed of Abraham all nations shall be blessed. That salvation is for all, and through the church it's available if we submit in obedience to the gospel of Christ. Then we can be a part of the blood-bought church of the Bible, and that is certainly what this is teaching, isn't it? All nations shall flow unto it, and notice, and many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. So we need to be involved in getting other people to obey the gospel and become a part of the blood-bought church of the Bible, the church of Christ. But let's go on and notice also in this prophecy, and he shall teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. We don't know the way to go. As Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We're not able to do that. Direct our steps, that is. We should turn to God and allow him to direct us, and we'll have the best life possible, and we'll be in heaven for eternity when the Lord comes again and takes the church up to God the Father. We want to be a part of that blood-bought church of the Bible, do we not? We certainly should. So Jesus is teaching through his word, his doctrine, and we need to understand it, study it, and obey it, and live by it. The old law of Moses, again, was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. Christianity must be taught, and you can see that in John 6:44 and 45. Therefore, we must be teachable. We can't have a closed mind and say, well, I don't care what the Bible says, I was taught this way. We better care what the Word of God says. We better submit to it. Are we honest and ready to receive what God's Word is revealing to us? 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They've closed their mind, you see. And Satan is certainly involved in that, is he not? Deception. So we want to follow the law of Christ, submitting to God's will, and walk in his paths. Follow his example, in other words. But let's go on and notice also here in the prophecy of Isaiah. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Well, we know Solomon's temple was built on the high hill of Zion in Jerusalem. And of course, so Zion refers to Jerusalem. As Isaiah 28:16, we see, we see this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. So notice, a precious cornerstone. That's Christ, as he established his church. Where? In Jerusalem. This is where the church began in Acts chapter 2. So the foundation is sure because it is Christ. Zechariah 1:16, therefore thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. So the first gospel sermon was preached where? In Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the day the church of Christ began. The blood-bought church of the Bible. Well, let's go to Isaiah 9 now, verses 6 and 7. Here is another prophecy concerning Christ and His church. For unto us a child is born. And of course, Isaiah 7:14 is the prophecy of the virgin birth. But notice, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, here's the prophecy of the church of Christ. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Of course, Christ would never reign literally on David's physical throne, as so many premillennialists believe. And we can say that with assuredness, with certainty, because Christ is reigning now, where? In heaven, over his spiritual kingdom, the church of Christ. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. How can he be King of Kings and not be reigning? Think about it. Notice Acts 7:49. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? We better heed what the Lord says. Man can mislead us. He may be sincere. Stay with the Word of God. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now, let's go to Daniel chapter 2 with the time that we have left, and we'll see another prophecy of the blood-bought church of the Bible, the church of Christ. In Daniel chapter 2, we see that Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, he had a dream. And no one could interpret his dream. He went to his counselors, and oh boy, they would have made up something, of course, if he had told them what his dream was. Well, he couldn't do that. So, of course, they couldn't make up something when he wasn't able to tell them what the dream was. So, of course, we know who could interpret that dream, because Daniel was given the ability by God. And so this is what we're going to be looking at, that interpretation that Daniel gave. As we go to Daniel 2:31, thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass. So he's revealing what the dream was. He's going to interpret it also. But notice, the legs of iron, his feet part of clay, and part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was this iron, the clay, and the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like shaft of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, and that no place was found for them. And that the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That's the church of Christ. You see, anyone that obeys the gospel in any country no matter where they are in the world, is added to the Lord's church, the blood-bought church of the Bible, by the Lord himself. Acts 2:47. We've been emphasizing that. So we're seeing here this dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, this is the dream, and we will tell thee the interpretation thereof before the king. We, that's Daniel and God. God and Daniel, better to say. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory, and wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. That's current, isn't it? But after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. So there are four kingdoms in this dream. The Babylonian Empire, they would be conquered by the Medo-Persians. They combined the Medes and the Persians about 538 B.C. They were inferior to the first kingdom. That's the breast and arms of silver. Well, Babylonians, and this is about 606, God had given Nebuchadnezzar his power, not because of his personal merit, but because it was in God's plan. Then the third kingdom, the Grecian kingdom, 331 B.C., of course, Alexander the Great rose up quickly, swept eastward from Greece. More is said in chapter 7 and 8. It even tells it's the king of Grecia in chapter 10. So this is the belly and thighs of brass. But we're looking now at the fourth kingdom, legs and feet of iron mixed with clay. Strong, yes, so strong as iron, verse 40. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of the potter's clay, part of the iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. The immorality of the Roman Empire, it caused weakness, didn't it? But they had strong power. Pompey was never an emperor, but he took away the Jewish national independence. So Jesus came into the flesh when Caesar Augustus was ruling. Luke 2, verse 1. And Tiberius was the ruling Caesar when Jesus was crucified and purchased his church with his own precious blood. Luke 3, 1, Acts 20, 28. So we're seeing here, notice verse 44. And this is the key. And in the days of these kings, what kings? The kings of Rome, the Caesars. That's what's being discussed here. Notice, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed? Jesus said to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The King James has hell, but this is the place of the dead, the Hadean realm, Matthew 16:18. What does it mean, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it? The doors of death shall not prevent Christ from being resurrected from the tomb on the third day, Acts 2:24-36. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, Romans 1:4. The church cannot be destroyed. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 12:28. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. Back to Daniel, you see. That's right. shall not be left to other people. These four kingdoms left their rule to others. But notice, Jesus would not accept an earthly political kingdom. John 6:15, notice this, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. He departed. So premillennialists, think about that. Jesus refused to be made a king here on the earth, but he is King of kings and Lord of lords in heaven. Don't ever forget that, all of us. And later Jesus said before Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." Should we not accept that? John 18:36. The church is not left in the hands of men to control, but God gave the New Testament pattern for us to follow. Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Now notice, "But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." The four great empires built one on the other, diverse, yes, yet parts of a whole. They were all parts of a whole, and they all collapsed, with the Roman Empire being the greatest kingdom to fall after persecuting the kingdom of God, the blood-bought church of the Bible, the Church of Christ, which could never be destroyed. And you see that stone that was cut out without hands? It smote the image. What a great contrast. All these kingdoms, you know. Oh, they were really something. No, they weren't. The stone cut out from the mountain, without man's hands. That's the Church of Christ, the blood-bought church of the Bible. God had promised David earlier, "Thy seed after thee would sit upon the throne of his kingdom, which would stand forever." 2 Samuel 7:12-16. Jesus is the Christ, the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, 1 Timothy 6:15. Well, our time is gone. But have we not seen the prophecy of the church of the Bible, which was purchased with the blood of Christ? Are we a part of that kingdom? Are we in the church that the Lord built and it's his body? If not, we stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel. Yes, we'll study together and see what the Bible says one must do, what one must do to be saved. We need to, of course, hear the truth. This is how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. Now we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ, John 8:24. Having believed that Jesus is the Christ, we're ready to repent, getting rid of my will and submitting to the will of God, leaving a sinful life and doing what God would have us to do. Yes, that's required. Luke 13:3-5, now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10, stating, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God." Having done that, we're ready to be baptized. Why baptism? Because it's an immersion. To be under the water is a burial, and that's where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. Ananias told Paul, "Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." We thank you so much for listening today.